Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. We have champions to talk about. We've had three. We're still working on that fourth one. We'll wrap all that up later on tonight. Right now, though, he's our superstar. He's the man of the hour. It's the star of the show, Network Indiana's Brendan King.
Coach, what's going on? Great to be with you and Elijah on this state championship night. As you said, we got games to break down, but also one in action, and that's Class 4A for the crown. Fishers and Ben Davis. At halftime from Gainbridge Fieldhouse, it's a six-point game. Fishers on top of BD, 36-30. Jonathan Hall had a spectacular half for Fishers. He had 16 points, but Mark Zachary, the two-sport star from BD, doing it all. He's got 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists in just the first half, shaping up to be a spectacular second over from Gainbridge. Games already finished today. Fort Wayne Canterbury, the champion of Class A, 48-41 over Bethesda Christian. In Class 2A, it was Brownstown Central taking down Wapahani, a score of 55-36. And by a 10-piece, Scottsburg, the victor and champion of Class 3A, 67-57, they knock off South Bend St. Joseph. Full breakdowns of those games a little bit later. As for the NCAA tournament, quickly, top-seeded UConn, boy, the day demolished 3-seed Illinois today. 77-52, the Huskies went on a 30-0 run in the second half. UConn looking unbeatable.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network Driven. The number 2, savelives.org is their website. Talking basketball tonight, lots and lots of basketball. We didn't get a chance to catch up much with this favorite of mine, the head coach at the University of Southern Indiana, Stan Girard, joins me. And Stan, thanks so much for the call. It's great to talk to you. I hope you're doing well.
No, I'm doing great. How you doing, Coach?
Brother, since I don't have to worry about wins and losses, I'm doing great.
Well, you're in a much better place than I am, man, but I always appreciate talking to you, man. I love your show. I know we didn't talk much this year, but it's always a pleasure to come on.
Well, you know what? You have taken over. USI has, as you, you're a very important part of it, you know, on the championship team and all that. You have great tradition at USI and USI basketball. But the move to Division I and in to the OVC, if you're not in the basketball world, you really can't grasp the enormity of that type of move.
Oh, it's a huge move. You know, this is our second year of Division I, and listen, man, it's a grind. You know, unlike Division II, you know, it's a huge adjustment.
Right.
At the same time, if you don't adjust, man, you got to do something else because the basketball world is not stopping and waiting for you guys to get caught, for us to get caught up. And as we navigate, you know, through this new chapter of USI basketball, we got to go through some tough times right now. I mean, some tough times rather. And we went through those this year. Hopefully they're behind us, but, you know, we shall see.
College basketball, I'm so happy I do radio now because the portal, NIL, all these other things would drive me crazy. Obviously, guys who've been in the game a long, long time have chosen to move, high-level type guys. It's a brand-new world. But I have to think, and this may sound crazy, and you can tell me if I'm way off base here, but being a Division II coach, you guys at the Division II level were dealing with transfers and junior college transfers. You guys were dealing with a lot of player movement at the Division II level for a long, long time, were you not?
Oh, we were. But this is a different level now because of, you know, the new rules, the NIL, the collective.
Right.
It was a little bit easier. You know, when guys came down to our level, we knew that they were Division II guys. A lot of guys have exhausted their, you know, Division I eligibility and had to come down to our level. You know, back in the day, when a young man transferred, he had to sit a year at the Division I level. But now they can play right away, you know. And that's why we were so successful at UIndy, because a lot of those guys dropped down because they didn't want to sit a year. But now they can play right away, and they stay at his level.
So tell me if I, again, this is another quote. I'm trying to be educated on a show like tonight with somebody I know and respect and think the world of. If I was hired tomorrow to coach at a Division I program, it doesn't matter what level, what conference, anyway, if I were moving into Division I, I would want to have a junior college head coach as one of my staff members to help me understand how to handle your roster and only have a guy for a year. So am I crazy?
You are spot on, Coach. I call this NBA free agency because these guys can move whenever they want. It's hard to build a relationship, especially at the low to mid-major level, because guys leave. You think about, you know, my roster a year ago when we went 16-17 year one, make it to the CBI tournament, and six guys exit out to go transfer up. And, you know, and then we struggled this year. You look at Purdue, they had the kid from the Jones kid from SIU Carbondale, Illinois,
Domaski,
you know, and those teams struggled, you know, but guys are leaving. They're looking for, you know, mainly for opportunity, but the big picture is money. You know, when you used to call kids back in the day, they want to know about the scholarship. Now they want to know how much money can they make. The first thing is money, you know.
Back in the day, the question would be how much playing time and what's your success getting guys in the NBA?
Yes, yeah, and that's not the case anymore. It's all about, you know, what can you do? Can you provide me with NIL? Can you provide me with a collective? And that's not, you know, we as coaches can't have that conversation. We can set those meetings up. We can't have those conversations with the recruits, but that's what the big thing is right now. And it's a huge adjustment. You know, I'm an old school type of guy. You know me. You've been around me for a long while.
Yeah.
I'm very old school, man. And it's hard for me to, you know, adjust to the new realm of college basketball. But you know what? Again, if you can't adjust, man, you got to do something else, you know. And I'm adjusting slowly but surely, but it's a struggle because we don't have the resources the bigger schools have.
Hey, Stan, I need you to – can you hang on here through this short break?
Sure will.
Absolutely. Stan Girard and I will come back, talk more basketball, talking about USI basketball on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. We're talking with Stan Girard, the basketball coach at the University of Southern Indiana, before the break. Coach, the OVC is a difficult conference. You obviously live that night in and night out. Tell me how you felt at the end in terms of the progress this team is making right now.
You know, it felt pretty good, you know, especially, you know, really last year it felt really good. We lost the majority of our guys in the portal. You know, this year, you know, we returned about, 8-10 points from a year ago. And you know, it was a struggle night in and night out. But it's a winnable league, you know, a lot of great coaches, great players in this league that, you know, it kind of reminds you of GOVC from a guard standpoint. Mm-hmm. It's always great guards in this league. And if you got a good guard, you know, good guards and a good post player, we got a chance. You think about, you know, your Morehead States this year and your Tennessee Martins. Those guys were really good. You know, Little Rock was good this year.
Right.
And we went into – this year we went into Morehead State and broke their win streak. They had the second, you know, longest home win streak in college basketball. We broke that at their place, you know. But it was a great, it was great for us. But it's a great league, man. It's very competitive night in and night out. And it's I'm excited about, you know, the years to come here at USI.
Yeah, and I think that it's you mentioned it. It's a league with guys who have a lot to prove, you know, as players. Felt like they could play at a higher level, at a higher conference, so to speak. And you also have some coaches who are really, really, really good.
Oh, man. Preston Spradling, man, is the best of the best. You know, he just took a job at James Madison. The coach of team, UT Martin Ritter, just took a job at what's the school down in Georgia? Not Weber State. But anyway, he moved on from UT Martin, man. But it's a great league, great coaches. Kind of reminds you of GOVC, but, you know, a couple notches better. And listen, if you're not ready to go, man, you can get punched in the mouth really quick, you know. And like I said, great coaches in this league that are ready to go every night.
And you had to be excited, too, about the support you got from your fans. You know, your crowds were good. In spite of the struggles you were going through, you still had a pretty loyal following for you.
Oh, they believe, man. And that's the beauty of USI. You know, no matter what you're going through as a team, as a coach, as a player, you know, it felt great when we were getting our tails kicked to walk out for a game, and there's still 3,000-4,000 people out there cheering for you. You know what I mean? So they understand the process. You know, we have a coaches show every Monday, and we talk about, you know, the process, we trust in the process, and they believe. You know, I think we've done a good job from an administration standpoint in helping everybody understand, you know, this four-year process, because we cannot play in the postseason. But our fans have been great, you know, even back from our playing days leading up to now, man. We have a great, you know, great fan support. I think we were second in the league in attendance this year. You know, and that says a lot, you know, about our fans.
That's impressive. Yeah. Yes, that's impressive. So now, 24 hours a day, you're scanning the portal. that's where you live right now.
Listen, Coach. I have three assistants right now, and we every time that thing updates, we're on the call on the text thread. I went to the National Junior College Tournament the other day in Hutchinson, Kansas, and I was there for 3 days, and I met my family at the end of my daughter's spring break for a couple of days down in Florida, but I had this phone attached at the hip, and I'm making phone calls, and I'm at the beach playing beach volleyball with my daughter, and the phone rang, and I had to hop and step out of the game and take a phone call, you know what I mean? So it's nonstop, but listen, I enjoy the grind wholeheartedly, and I can't imagine myself doing nothing else.
Neither can I. Stan Gerard, the basketball coach at the University of Southern Indiana. Stan, it's great to catch up with you. I promise you, we'll spend a lot more time in this upcoming year. I wish you the best. You know that, and thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the call. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks so much. Earlier today, I had a chance to do some work in the IHSA state finals. We'll talk about that after this scoreboard update with one of my broadcast partners. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Brendan King with this Network Indiana scoreboard update here on Indiana Sports Talk. 4A state title game from Gainbridge Fieldhouse right now. Third quarter, 4 minutes gone by, 41-35. Fishers on top of Ben Davis. Both teams with 5 points so far in the third quarter, although Fishers the most points in both the first and the second quarters. BD has been fighting back all game long. Mark Zachary, their leading scorer with 10 points. He's got 3 rebounds and 2 assists as well. Jonathan Hall, the star for Fisher so far, with 16 points on the night. Coming up, 10 o'clock hour and the first scoreboard update of the hour. We're going to tell you everything you need to know from 1A, 2A, and 3A, the first three ball games of the day. But let's touch on the NCAA tournament right now. Halftime between Alabama and Clemson. Yes, in the Elite Eight, it sounds like a college football playoff game, but it's March Madness. Alabama leads Clemson 35-32 for a spot in the Final Four on the line. And speaking of the Final Four, UConn demolishes Illinois today, 77-52. Now, this was a 5-point game at halftime. UConn outscored Illinois in the second half, 49-29. And this last stat tells you everything you need to know as UConn goes to the Final Four. Marcus Damask, the star for Illinois, had 15 points in the first half. He had 2 in the second. Illinois had 1 guy, Damask, in double figures all game. Incredible.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Championship Saturday at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. It's a fun time. The 114th annual IHSA Boys State Basketball Finals. I had the privilege to do the 1A game on the IHSA Champions Radio Network with the man himself from WMUN in Muncie, Mr. Mark Forrester. Mark, great job today. It was fun to work with you. We had a really, really competitive game, too, with Canterbury beating Bethesda Christian by 7 early this morning. That seems like 2 or 3 days ago, quite frankly.
It does, Coach. And, you know, I can't remember, and you might have it there, but at one point, and I think it was late in the second half, neither team had more than a 5-point lead until the end of the game when Fort Wayne Canterbury went on a little bit of a spurt. I mean, it was that tight, and it just almost felt like the door was just cracked open for Bethesda Christian to have one of those spurts offensively. But give credit to Fort Wayne Canterbury. They made life difficult on Bethesda Christian defensively from start to finish of the game and capture the 1A title.
it was a fun game because you're right. You know, they went back and forth. And you mentioned it during the broadcast about the 5-point spread. And, you know, that I get the feeling championship games are probably supposed to be that way. But they went at each other hard. The intensity level, to me, and I think I remarked on the broadcast more than once about how hard both teams were playing. And it got a little ragged at times because of that. But you just had to love the fact that all these kids were giving everything they had to try and win that basketball game.
Yeah, that's what you want at the end of the day. And hats off to both teams who certainly fought there. And we chronicled this as well. 1A wasn't supposed to be this matchup if you took what the predictors said. I mean, Bethesda Christian, number 8, Fort Wayne Canterbury was unranked. So both of them had to overcome extreme adversity and win games that, quite frankly, from a prediction standpoint, they weren't supposed to win. So, of course, the effort level and the urgency, backs against all the cliche stuff that you want to throw out there was evident for these teams because they've taken that every step of the way. But Fort Wayne Canterbury did just enough to make plays down the stretch. And how about John Parent? We talked about him a lot on the broadcast,
right,
Coach.
Right.
Having a double-double, his first double-double of the season, never eclipsed the 20-point mark, and he just happens to do it in the state championship game to give Fort Wayne Canterbury their first boys basketball state championship.
You know, and we talked, obviously, about John Parent, and this happens in championship games. Sometimes there's this guy that gets overlooked that we don't talk as much about, who steps up and has that type of game. And John Parent had it. He was tremendous today. Scored a multitude of ways on the glass. Is a great defender, but his hoops were big. He made big hoops at necessary times for his team, and one of the reasons why they win a state championship.
Coaches love three-level scores, Coach. You know that better than anybody else.
Yeah.
To be able to shoot it from the perimeter, shoot it from mid-range, and be able to maneuver in the lane. And he displayed that, I think, all in one sequence, really, in three straight possessions to end the basketball game. He truly was a three-level scorer. And really, I think a lot of his opportunities came because of the attention that Devin Lewis, their senior point guard, was getting. And so you get those open looks. And as we've seen all day long today, Coach, just because the attention goes to the star player, it doesn't mean the second and third options, who are capable, make those shots. And give immense credit to John Parent. He might have come into today feeling as though the attention, like it had been all season long when Fort Wayne Canterbury was going on their run, was going to go to others. And he had the opportunities, and he made the most of them without question.
He did, and you mentioned Devin Lewis. Lewis has 12 points and does a tremendous job running the show. We overlooked the fact that John Parent, in addition to his 22 points, had 10 rebounds. So those two, we expected to see good things out of Lewis, but it was a bonus from what Parent was able to do. Once that game concluded, you're the consummate professional. You have to walk across the court from the radio vantage point to the radio vantage point for your WMU broadcast of Wapahani's matchup with Brownstown Central, and Brownstown Central came out and played as good a first quarter as a team can play, Mark.
Yeah, Coach, I had a long commute to the other side of the floor, let me tell you, to get over to the WMUN set.
Right.
It was, you know, certainly a thrilling journey to get there for Wapahani. And really, you look at that first quarter, Coach, and you were on the call of the TV broadcast, and it just makes you think in the back of your mind, if you keep that lead from 11 down to 6 or 7 after the first quarter, what that game would have ended up being, because Wapahani had a big spurt in the third quarter, but ultimately you go back to the way that Brownstown Central just came ready to play and used their length on both sides of the floor, the length to get to the rim offensively, the length to hit perimeter shots, but also the length that really spooked Wapahani early on defensively. It just all came together for Brownstown Central, and going back to that start, I mean, that's really what it ultimately ended up being the difference, Coach.
No question. And the difference also, Jack Benner is for real. First opportunity people had to see him, he was phenomenal. I can't think of another word that's better to describe how he played, and delivered a knockout punch literally in that first quarter. But Wapahani showed you what they're about with the way they played that third quarter and the rest of the ball game. It's a great story. It's a tremendous story that sadly had to end this way. And give credit to Brownstown Central for playing as well as they did.
I know you're about to hit a break here, Coach, but Coach Dave Benter mentioned about his son, and he's coached him probably since he was a young kid, about being the biggest matchup problem in the state, and I know that goes with high regard because there's another young man, Floyd Badunga, who played at Kokomo that is the ultimate matchup mismatch, but there's something about a guy, we just talked about a three-level score in John Parent, but that's truly what Jack Benter is. But the ability that he has to playmake for others, that's the part that I think maybe goes unnoticed. Yes, he scores 25 a game. He scored 38 in the semi-state championship. But it's not just what he does to put the ball in the hoop. It's what he does to set up others. And Micah Sheffer was set up for a couple threes at the end of the game that kind of put it away. But that's why he might be, and it's big praise, he might be the biggest matchup problem in the state in 2024.
Mark Forrester from WMUN. It's always great to work with you, Mark. It was my privilege, as always. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, my friend. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You're welcome. Thanks so much.